Welcome to the Misfit Stars podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hi, everybody. It's wonderful to have you here. Hi, Shannon.
Hello, Jamie.
Hi. So later on in this episode, everyone, we're going to be talking about Petrichor, the last song on Shannon's 2020 masterpiece, And Her Whisper Becomes a Storm.
It's the last deep dive.
It is the last
deep
dive.
Album.
So if this is for some reason the very first episode of Misfit Stars podcast that you're listening to, first of all, welcome. Second of all, Shannon put a new record out this June, and we have for the last 12 weeks. 10 weeks.
We doubled up a couple
of them.
That's right,
because there's 12 songs, but we doubled up the instrumentals.
Yeah.
Because you can't really talk about an instrumental that much.
Right.
Yeah.
So, 10 weeks.
For the last 10 weeks, we have been doing a deep dive all the way through the record in order.
Yeah.
And if that sounds interesting, go back and listen to them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a great chance to go back and listen because we're going on vacation after this week for a couple weeks.
Technically, we already sort of are on vacation.
It's true.
But like, we're not doing a great job yet. We're still kind of catching up on dribs and drabs of stuff. And this podcast episode is one. I want you to know right now we're phoning this one in. This is not going to be in our top 10 best podcast episodes.
I don't know. I'm really excited to talk about Petrichor, actually. I've been looking forward to this and all the deep dives. But my point is that if you have not listened to the first 9 of the deep dive episodes, you're going to have plenty of time to do that because we are on a staycation and we're not going to be putting out new podcast episodes in the next couple of weeks. So if you miss us, you could just go back and listen to other deep dives. You could go into like deep history. You could go back and listen to episode 1.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to go back and listen to episode 1
no,
sometime.
You're not.
I'm so curious because I'm sure that we sound
so different. This is one of those things that you say you're not
going
to do.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I will. Now I'm going to, just to prove you wrong, because you've ignited that little aspect of this now.
Right.
But no, I'm sure we sound very different.
Oh, for sure, because we know what we're doing now. We had absolutely no idea in the first episode, and so we were being so cautious.
I know.
So tentative. There was absolutely no interaction whatsoever.
I'm so curious to go back and revisit what it was like.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
You let me know how that works out for you.
I will. Anyway.
So, people, Misfit Stars is a community-centered endeavor, and we would love to invite you to join us. And here's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Misfit Stars is a podcast. You're listening to it now. We hope you love it. Misfit Stars is also a supportive community of people who help Shannon and me do the work that we do in the world. And here's what that means. We have a patronage community. You can find it at misfitstars.com/join. And it's a way for people who believe in what we're up to in the world to sign up for small dollar recurring monthly contributions toward our welfare. And we aggregate these, and they really, really help.
Yeah.
Our Misfit Stars patron community is one of the main reasons that we are surviving this pandemic, quite frankly, because we, you know, couldn't go on tour. Tour is 75% of our yearly income. We could not do that this year. We did some virtual touring, which has been wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Not as lucrative as regular touring. It turns out you can't sell merch on Zoom.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. It's really, really weird. Our merch went from being 45% of our income to being about 2% of our income.
Yep.
And so that's a thing. But you know what? Because of the Misfit Stars patron support community, we're making it through.
Totally.
We're doing okay. And
totally.
That's directly thanks to the people who support us and what we do. So if you're one of those people, first of all, thank you. You're making our lives possible. And we appreciate you more than we could ever possibly express.
Yeah.
And secondly, if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I'm not yet a supporting member of this whole situation, but oh my gosh, I'd really like to be. I love what Shannon and Jamie are doing and I want to help keep it going.
We want to encourage that behavior.
Yeah, thanks very much. You just go to misfitstars.com/join. It starts at $5 a month. $5 a month. What is that? Like 17 cents a day we figured out? It's very, very small. Not that we're allowed to have pennies anymore or handle cash. But if we were, it would just be pocket change. So if you have some pocket change and you'd like for us to have it, I'm basically spare changing people on the pod. That's pretty cool.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So anyway, misfitstars.com/join is the point of that. And thank you. We're grateful for you for that. It's a way we create community, and it's also a way we support ourselves.
And this community, by the way, one of the perks that you get when you join.
Kind of the only perk.
It's the perk.
Yeah.
Besides just feeling great about yourself.
That's a perk.
The other perk is that you will be invited to join our private Facebook group for just Misfit Stars supporting members. And the Facebook group itself, like, is the reason to be part of this community.
That's true.
Because the folks that are there are folks like you, who are folks who are really interested in honestly and authentically and open-heartedly grappling with the important stuff in life and trying to be better and do better and work to create the lives in the world that we want to inhabit. And it's a group of people that converses with each other about those things all the time.
It's robust.
It is wonderful. This Misfit Stars group has really come alive during this time of pandemic, during this time when the United States has been reinvigorated in its effort toward racial justice, this election season.
Lots going on.
And the Misfit Stars group is a place of refuge for me with all those things. Not that we're ignoring those things. We're not. We're engaging on those topics.
But no one's being an a-hole.
Yeah. In a way, though, that feels productive and healthy and good. And so please join us. Go to misfitstars.com/join. We would love to have you there.
Like, there's this one guy on my Facebook. He shouldn't even be on my Facebook anymore. Patrick is his name. And you know, I unfriended him because he was doing this behavior, and now he's just doing it to me on Messenger.
What's the behavior?
The behavior is that he is rabidly trying to convince me to change my political views. He's been following politics for about a year, by his own admission. He's very passionate about that now. Uh-huh. And he thinks that I have things all wrong, and he wants to bring me around to his way of thinking, which doesn't involve consuming mainstream media. It does perhaps involve some QAnon. It's a shit show. And you know what, people? Patrick and the Patricks of the world are not in the Misfit Stars private Facebook group. That's our guarantee to you.
Yeah.
No one acts like that in there. And you know how they're all over regular Facebook and it makes it so you don't really feel comfortable talking about important stuff? Mm. Because they are not in Misfit Stars private Facebook group, you can feel supremely confident that you will only ever be lifted up, never put down, by a kind, vulnerable, nurturing group of humans. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. It's what we like to call a safe space. And you know what? If you don't like that, F you. Is that fair? I think that's fair.
That's fair.
Yeah. Honestly, anyone who doesn't like that sort of idea probably wouldn't be listening to this podcast anyway.
It's so true.
And
what
if you do, frankly, change a channel. What are you doing with your life? Go listen to some QAnon bullshit. That's more your speed.
Okay. So are we segueing to the actual podcast now? Are you done with all your business?
I think I'm done with business.
Okay.
You could go to Apple Podcasts and you could leave a review. That would be nice.
Okay.
Do that. Do 5 stars. Thanks.
I have some things to say about QAnon, but actually we haven't done our feelings check-in yet.
Oh, yeah. How are you feeling about QAnon, Shannon?
Feelings check-in.
Feelings. I just wrote that. That's a feelings check-in theme song.
Jamie.
That's copyright
Jamie,
me.
How are you feeling?
Wow. I don't think that's part of the song, actually, honestly,
I'm
Shannon.
I'm sorry. I was just riffing.
My song is different than
How
that.
You feeling?
I'm good. I'm physically tired, and that's good because it means I've been in my body and not my head today. And that's a good place to be. You know what I mean? You and I were outside in the backyard, just doing backyardy kind of stuff. And it's good. I'm tired.
Great.
I feel happy about that.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I'm doing pretty okay. It really felt like ending the first part of our tour was a weight off. Just because like our schedule's gotten a whole lot less structured. We had been sprinting straight through since mid-March. I mean, straight freaking through.
Yep.
And, you know, now we just have a chance to take things at our own pace for a little while. There's still work we have to do.
Yes.
You know, we're not going to be lounging and eating bonbons. I would like to.
Well,
hopefully there'll be some bonbon eating.
There's going to be some actual rest.
Yeah.
It's a necessary part of any human's existence.
Yeah, that's right. And especially a creative one.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm excited about that. I'm also excited about how tour ended up and how it went in general. I've had some time to reflect on how this last couple months have gone and I feel positive about them.
Oh yeah.
You know, real positive.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm in a pretty good place today. The dumpster fire outdoors rage is on.
Yeah.
And there is that. But for whatever reason, probably spending most of the day outside doing physical stuff, I am not really focused on it right now. So that feels good.
Yeah.
Note to self, more time outdoors, more physical stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, with our more flexible schedule, we should be able to accomplish some of that. And that feels good too. Like I'm looking forward to checking out a little bit, you know?
Yep.
Like I'm still going to be, you know, getting the 10 newsletters I get every day and, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll be able to also just kind of, you know,
yeah,
do other things.
Yeah, good.
How about you? How are you feeling?
I'm good today. I think for the same reasons you were describing, that we were outside doing project stuff in the yard. It felt good to be in that space and not, like, you know, caught up in the latest. The Republican National Convention is happening this week, and I am not watching it.
No.
I saw a couple highlights here and there from the first night, and I'm like, yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
And I
kind of thought at first, I remember last week, I was like, I'll probably watch some of that. And the highlights are for sure enough. Because they're batshit freaking insane.
It really is just hate lies. It's bizarre. Like, I honestly was thinking about this. Like, I don't really expect anything different from the people who are spewing these lies at the RNC. Like, they're people who currently are in power, who are desperate to stay in power and will do everything that they can to stay there. Clearly, anything that they can do.
And it's becoming increasingly
lie.
It's becoming increasingly clear that the reason they're so excited and eager to stay in power, I mean, first of all, power is good, I guess. But second of all, the moment they're no longer protected by, you know, being in the office of the presidency, they'll probably all get prosecuted.
Here's hoping. Yeah. So, I mean, my point in saying all that is that I'm not watching that. And it feels good not to watch that. Last week, I got to see the other convention and, you know, saw images of, you know, inclusivity and empathy and speeches that, you know, put forth a vision of what's possible when we work together. And, like, I just don't, that's what I'm going to be working for from now until November. And I don't need to be bummed out by, you know, what the other side is saying these days. Oh, well, what I was going to say though is that I don't expect anything different from the folks that are speaking at the RNC. What really does bum me out though, on a daily basis, is the reminder that, like, people buy into these lies and are buying into them. People I know are buying into these lies, and that is
people. All of us know
people. Everybody knows. I know, and that remains to me one of the hardest parts of this time. Like, just. I just want to shake a bunch of people by their shoulders and be like, get your act together.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm not watching because I don't need to be putting that into my brain. That's a self-care choice I'm making.
Good.
And as a result, I'm feeling pretty okay. I'm really grateful for how the summer season of shows ended up, the virtual tour. That doesn't mean we're done with shows, by the way.
No, folks. That's true.
We have just launched, by the way, a search for hosts for October shows.
We're doing shows from October 1st through October 31st. Just the month of October, you know?
Virtual concerts.
We're not, like, moving the days around because, like, the first falls on a Wednesday or whatever. I don't even know.
The first?
First to the 31st. That's it.
Yeah.
If you want one, there's only 31 of them.
That's right.
And we're reserving a few days in there for personal projects and stuff that we want to do.
Yes.
Meaning that realistically, there's about 26 days
available.
Yeah, that you can choose from. So you better get on it. Like, if you want to host a show for yourself and your friends and your family.
These are the last batch of And Her Whisper Becomes a Storm shows. We will not be doing this show anymore after October. Aww.
It's a good show.
It's a great show and I have so much fun doing it. But if you want to share this with your loved ones, with people you care about, now is the time to get on board. You don't have to have a house. You don't have to have money. All you need is an internet connection and people who will join you virtually for this event. Your friends and family don't even need to be in the same city. They can be scattered about multiple states. Most of our shows have had people from multiple states one time. It is all the shows are done on an open donation basis. So you don't have to pay us a chunk of change to come do this for you and your friends.
It's not like you pay us $500 and then your friends get the show for free. Those freeloaders. You know what I mean?
We do offer that option.
That's
However,
true.
Most of our shows are not done that way.
Yeah.
We would just, the bottom line is this. If you want to share with people you care about this thing that we do, we want to share it with them.
That's true.
We want to share it with you. Yeah. So email us and we'll set it up. But I digress. I'm grateful for how the summer shows ended up.
Yeah.
Looking forward to doing more in October. And also, I'm very, very grateful and feeling just a sense of relaxation, even just being a couple of days into this, like, break that we're on right now, and super, just really grateful for it. I need it. I really sensed at the end of this run, at the end of this push that we just ended, that I was kind of skating on a bit of an edge. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like I can hold it together, but I'm going to need a rest soon. And so I'm glad that it's here, and I'm feeling great about that. Good. I want to read a mystery.
Yeah.
That's my goal. I'm like, I hope by tomorrow evening.
I have one.
I will start a mystery novel.
I have one down here with a bookmark already in it.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah. So that's my goal. Anyway, that's how I'm feeling. I'm doing well. Grateful that this is a break, and or that we're going to, after this podcast is being done being recorded, then we're actually starting break.
Yeah. Well, you are. I have to edit and put it on the internet.
I know. I'll be here to support you.
By which she means on the couch on her phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I appreciate the support.
I'll bring you snacks.
That's true. You can tell me what's on the phone.
Yeah.
Is it fun? Hopefully it's fun. It's probably Twitter.
Would you like to whine a little bit more?
I kind of would. I'm feeling whiny. You know, I'll give you a short list of the last thing I want to do today. It's edit a podcast on the computer. But yeah. I'm going to do it because you know what? I believe in this podcast. I believe in you, and I believe in the people who are listening.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, turn that around.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
So now do you want to talk about QAnon?
Okay, I do. I don't, but I feel like I need to because... So have you heard of QAnon, everybody?
You know, cannibal pedophiles.
Oh, my God.
You know.
I wish I didn't know, honestly. I wish I didn't have to know. I wish I didn't have to know anything about this. I wish it was nowhere near the mainstream of politics right now, that it makes it a requirement to be aware of it.
Yeah.
But here we are. The only reason I want to talk about it is that it's really bubbled up to like the mainstream conversation the last few weeks. And, there are these like metaphors or themes that they employ. One of which is there's a storm coming.
Mm-hmm. As we would say, where I grew up, there's a storm.
Oh my gosh.
No, you stepped
but
on
can
it.
I say? Oh, sorry.
There's a storm a brewing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, can I tell you that every time I see that, I am just absolutely mortified that I have been promoting an album that I wrote called "And Her Whisper Becomes a Storm," and I just want to. I just want to say I'm not mortified. I'm just.
Is your record secretly about pedophiles?
No. Oh my God.
How about cannibals?
No. Oh. I just need to say...
I appreciate the vehemence with which you issue these denials. Well, you know, these absurd denials.
It's because I'm pissed. I'm pissed that this stupid conspiracy theory community has stolen my metaphor this year.
Right.
And like, I just want to make a public declaration that no, the storm I am talking about has nothing to do with that freaking storm. I don't even know what they mean by that. Like, they think they're going to, like, take over the earth. I don't know.
The storm is when the president frees all the children who are victims of cannibalistic pedophile sex trafficking.
Which is not a thing.
Right. Well, there's that. But, you know, when he does do that, that's what the storm's going to be.
Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway,
and, you know,
I just...
it's not really the same metaphor, you know? It's just a very generic, you know, oh, here comes a storm. It's like WWE, which makes sense because all these idiots are about WWE-level intelligence. But you actually had an actual metaphor, right? It's a whisper of possibility manifesting into a storm of...
A whisper of intention manifesting into a storm of
storm
possibility.
Storm of possibility, that's what it was, yeah. It's funny, I've said it so many times this summer, I went to autopilot and fucked it up.
It's all right.
Yeah.
So
I'm like
I just
737 max of metaphors here.
I just have been...
Going on autopilot, right into the ground.
Oh my goodness. So I just felt like a need, ever since that's been sort of like bubbling up and like I've seen it in people's stupid memes and whatever, I'm like, I felt a need to defend myself.
Wow. I love it.
Oh, and to do whatever I can to take it back. Take back my own, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So that, I don't know what else to say about it. It pisses me off. So I wanted to mention it.
Duly noted. Yeah.
What else has been going on for you this week?
Not a goddamn thing. I haven't been working on music very much. I've really been kind of just like ignoring work stuff as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a really neat, I started a neat new relationship with a kid who I'll be mentoring. That was cool.
Great.
He's just a brand new, but clearly very talented, just, you know, young, aspiring artist, singer, songwriter, mm-hmm. you know? Like, he's interested in a lot of things, doesn't quite know what his focus is yet. Mm-hmm. Like, half the stuff he sent me sound like Jack Johnson, half the stuff he sent me sound like Drake, you know?
Right.
They're not compatible visions.
He's searching for his voice.
He's searching for his voice.
What an exciting time.
Oh, so exciting. And he has some great fundamentals. Like, he has a background in musical theater.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, like, he actually understands discipline around music, because there is nothing more rigorously disciplined than musical theater.
Yeah.
Holy hell. You know, if you can survive that, you can kind of do anything, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. We had a wonderful conversation today, and I'm just going to be mentoring him on an ongoing basis.
Neat.
By which I mean he'll be sending me works in progress, and I'll be sending him detailed notes, and I'll teach him stuff along the way, and I'll teach him how to do some engineering and production. And
cool.
Hopefully empower him to realize and figure out what his vision is, you know?
Right on.
Yeah, it's cool.
Right on.
Yeah.
Any other burning desires before we take a break and get back into Petrichor?
No. My mind is pleasantly blank.
Awesome. Well, let's take a short break. We will be back after the break for our deep dive into the last song on our new record. The song is called Petrichor. And if you've been wondering what the heck that word means, stick around. We're going to take you through it.
Love it. Back in a sec.
See you soon.
Still pleasantly blank upstairs.
It's good.
It's good. It's vacation mode.
It is vacation mode. It's important.
Mm-hmm. Thank God we like where we live.
Yeah.
It's like you can't really go anywhere. We'll go hiking.
We're going to go hiking.
That'll be nice.
Yes.
We were going to go camping, people. We had a place picked out. Like, we're not super, like, hardcore campers, right?
We were going to try it out.
And we had identified a place. We had pre-scouted it. And guess what's the one place in frickin' Western Washington that got closed last week because too many people were going there's nowhere else to go because you can't go to pools. This place.
The place we were going to go.
Yeah.
So that's okay. We're going to reinvent.
Yep.
We'll figure it out.
We will.
We'll see if we actually end up camping.
Man. I kind of hope so. I also kind of don't. Camping seems like one of those things that maybe for us will only ever be aspirational. Like, we keep planning it, you know? We could camp, you know? Also, not camping's much easier. There is that.
Let's start with a hike. How about that?
There's way less packing.
Yeah. So we're going to go into the final deep dive. Remember when we started this whole deep dive project 10 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, should we do like two songs a week? Because it's going to go, like, it's going to go on forever.
That was you who said that, not me.
No. It was you. And I'm pretty
sure it was you.
No, it was never
concerned
me.
Concerned it was going to go too long.
Nope. Yeah, I never thought that. Hmm. I was like, no, we should do one a week. And it's gone by really fast, yeah. I think, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are on the last song of the album called Petrichor.
Petrichor.
And last week, if you listened to last week's episode, you heard lots of science.
Yeah.
And if you were sick of science because of last week's episode, I'm so sorry. There's more science coming your way.
Yep. Sorry.
But, you know, in the course of writing this album, which I, you know, wrote in sequential order, mm-hmm. I finished Clouds and actually took, it was quite a bit of time actually between me finishing Clouds and actually writing Petrichor.
Totally. Like, you went upstairs at the very, very last minute.
I knew when I finished writing Clouds, I knew what the last song was going to be. I had the theme, I had the metaphor, I had the idea. I knew for weeks what it was going to be, but like I literally...
You just had to go write it.
I just had to execute the mission. But yeah, I wrote this song like very close to when we finished the record. Like it was...
Like maybe a week.
Yeah, it was very... Yeah. Cutting it very close.
And we're both really good at this and used to it. And even for me, I was like, so you're gonna go write that song?
Gonna write that last song?
I had to ask her like four times. And she's like,
No, you know what? I was unbothered. I knew exactly how it was just gonna like pour right out. Like I knew it was coming. You know, I was not worried at all. And so after finishing the song,
clearly you were also not worried about my ability to slam dunk it after you passed it to me. And I take that as a compliment.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I had full faith in you. Yeah. So for me, like getting to the end of Clouds, you know, Clouds is the song about, you know, all of our hopes and dreams and pains and joys and all the things that we have experienced as we've each been walking forward on our path, doing our next right thing. Each of us as individuals. When we come together, you know, forming a coalition together, like water droplets forming clouds.
Yeah.
You know?
You can really think of a cloud as just being a coalition of water droplets.
That's right. That's what it is.
Yeah.
You know, that the sort of coming together of the storm, the whisper becoming a storm, happened during the song Clouds. And so I knew that this next song needed to be something about the aftermath. What is the result of that storm? You know, what is it that the storm brings about into our lives, and what does it bring about in terms of the world we inhabit? What is the aftermath mm-hmm. of the storm? And that's where petrichor comes. So the word petrichor is the word for the smell of rain. That mm-hmm. that is an actual word. When did we learn this together? Just like a handful of years ago, I think.
I had known it for a very long time.
Oh, had
in
you?
My life personally.
Really?
Uh-huh. But we revisited
I
it,
thought
you and
that
I.
You told me that you got it maybe in your like word a day that you get your dictionary or your the guidance.
I didn't learn it there.
Oh,
it did come there.
I see.
And it inspired me to share it with you.
Oh,
amazing
okay.
word. Oh, do you know this word? Great word.
Got it. So anyway, it was not a word I've known for a long time, but that there is we all know what the smell is. We all know what rain smells like.
Yeah.
It's a universal experience
yep.
that humans have had.
And it happens everywhere. It's not just like it happens in one country because of certain conditions. It happens universally.
Right.
And by the universe, I mean Earth.
It's very Earth-centric.
Yeah.
formation of the universe, yeah. So we all know what it smells like. There's a word for it. It's called petrichor.
P-E-T-R-I-C-H-O-R. Petrichor.
Yeah. And so I knew that I wanted this last song to be about the smell of rain, to evoke that feeling that we all experience when we step outside and it's been raining. And you know what that smells like. You can probably conjure it in your mind right now. It rained here 2 days ago. And we got to smell it again. And I mm-hmm. just love that smell. Like I rushed to the open back door so I could like stick my nose outside and get some of that in my lungs because it's just such a great smell. It invigorates me. It makes me feel alive. Mm-hmm. It makes me feel, it's good. They got to bottle that stuff. Do they bottle that stuff? I don't know.
Well, you know, part of it is... A chemical.
Yeah, we're getting there.
My point being, though, that maybe you could bottle it.
Yeah, it's possible that they do.
Hmm.
But such a good smell. So I knew that this song, I wanted it to be about the smell of rain. And so I thought it would be prudent to do a little bit of research about what, like I knew the song was going to be called petrichor. Like before I wrote a note, that was going to be the title. But I thought it might be helpful to do a little bit of research about the where that word came from,
mm-hmm.
and maybe what exactly is it that makes the smell? Like what causes the smell to happen? And so in my research, first of all, the word petrichor comes from the Greek petros for stone,
mm-hmm.
and ichor, the fluid that flows in the veins of the gods, which is awesome.
So awesome.
It's very goth.
Also super specific too.
Like, right?
I love how the first half is like stone.
Yep.
And the second half is like, well, a little bit more complicated.
Yeah. The fluid that flows in the veins of the gods. And this is it's a Greek word because people have been describing the smell of rain since ancient times.
Yeah.
Like this is not obviously a new phenomenon. It's existed as long as rain has existed and humans have had receptacles in their noses to smell that. So yeah. To smell this.
I also love the idea that gods don't have blood in their veins.
The fluid
yeah.
that flows in the veins of the gods.
Mm.
You know, like one of the definitions I found of the word petrichor is it's a distinctive, earthy, usually pleasant odor associated with rainfall, especially when following a warm, dry period that arises from a combination of volatile plant oils and geosmin released from the soil into the air by ozone and carried by downdrafts.
So back up a sec, Shan.
Yeah.
Geosmin.
Geosmin, yes. So geosmin is a chemical that is responsible for a lot of the smell in petrichor. Mm-hmm. Ozone is also a component, and there are plant oils as well. But geosmin is a byproduct of things that were once living, mm-hmm. having died and being broken down in the soil.
By bacteria. By soil-dwelling bacteria.
Exactly. So the smell that you smell is when you're inhaling, you know, the rain hits the soil, mm-hmm. and this geosmin that's been broken down in the soil as things are decaying.
Released in the soil.
Released, really. Yes. The water droplets pick up a little bit of that and then bounce up off the soil, and it aerosolizes mm-hmm. this geosmin, and that's what hits your nostrils. And
that's
you that
why
smell.
You smell petrichor the most at the beginning of rain.
Exactly.
Because after a while, after a pretty short while, like it all kind of gets rained back down and reabsorbed.
Right.
And then it's gone.
Right. And so it got me thinking just about this idea of the idea of, first of all, that this is, you know, that the Greeks were calling this the fluid that runs in the veins of the gods. And also the science of it is that it's literally the smell of things that once were living that have died and are being regenerated into new life. You know, like everything's recirculated, right? Like all of the atoms in my body are atoms that existed elsewhere in the universe before they became part of my body. You know, the food that I have consumed today, those molecules are going to become part of my cells, but they were, you know, the vegetables I ate were grown in the ground that were nourished by decaying material in the soil. Like it's all connected, right? Mm-hmm. And that the smell of rain is literally the smell of things that have died becoming alive again.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel alive, mm-hmm. you know? So this really started to inform sort of what the song was going to, like, lyrically, you know, be about. And, you know, maybe it would be a good idea for us to transition to actually playing the song now.
Okay.
Rather than me starting to quote lyrics.
Right.
Just let's listen to it. But listen.
And then maybe you'll break down some lyrical stuff afterwards.
Sure. And listen, as you're listening to it, listen for the science, listen for the mythology, listen for the life cycle of all of this.
Does Shannon sound like the most earnest eighth grade teacher in the world or what right now?
Well, great. Sign me up.
I love it. It's so good.
You can call me Ms. Curtis, okay? Let's listen to petrichor.
Here's petrichor.
And from the sky, the water spills, reliever of a thirsty earth. Patter beat, a muffled thrill. It sounds like peace, smells like rebirth. And one breath in, I'm filled inside with the perfume of all that's lived and died. An ancient memory reminds me upturned hands, receiver of this primal grace. On wafts of plenty, my chest expands, newborn again with the smell of rain. And one breath in, lungs ache for more. This heaven sent, this petrichor. My ancient bones know that I've been here before.
and stone of dreams and pain and whispers from an echoed age. It's blood that courses through my veins, this verdant truth, eternal rain. Just one breath in, it makes me cry, the perfume of all that's lived and died. An ancient memory that I am here alive.
That's just a special little moment, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you think so.
Yep, totally. It's shocking how little is going on in that song, but what a big impact it has. Mm. So, Ms. Curtis, you were saying...
There's going to be a test on Friday.
Mm. Might be a pop quiz right about now,
that's
sounds like.
Right. Yeah, you know, I just... For me, what I really wanted to communicate with this final song on this record, you know, this record about doing the next right thing, about, you know, listening to that little voice inside, about paying attention to the dreams that appear to us, even mm-hmm. when we're not actively listening, but they're trying to make their way through, mm-hmm. you know, and listening for what's true when that little voice speaks. And then acting from that place, you know, moving into forming a new imagination about our lives or about the world from that place of truth. Mm-hmm. And then taking the step necessary to put that in motion, and then figuring out how to continue that forward motion even when obstacles come. Mm-hmm. And then building courage when you feel like you're faltering because you notice that there are other people doing the same thing around you mm-hmm. in their own lives. And then realizing that you can actually link arms with those people and create something bigger than yourself mm-hmm. as you are each following that truth toward that forward motion in your lives, in the world, and connecting your little truth and your actions to something bigger than yourself and creating power that is greater than the sum of its parts, mm-hmm. you know? And what I really wanted to communicate with this song is a connection to something maybe even bigger than that, mm. that potentially on a cosmic scale that listening to those truths is not any small matter, that perhaps it really is everything that each of us ought to be doing in the universe in this moment, and that maybe ancient versions of ourselves or some consciousness is feeding us those ideas because it is what is true. And that maybe the bones in my own body, you know, are telling me the things that I need to know for this moment because they've been around forever. And part of this cycle of life that so far hasn't ended for billions and billions of years, mm-hmm. you know, that perhaps there is some cellular memory that I have in my body that taps back into the same rain that was falling on ancient Greece, mm-hmm. you know, and that somehow maybe we are the gods they talk about in this song, mm-hmm. In the word petrichor. You know, maybe the 70% of our bodies that is water mm-hmm. is the fluid that runs through the veins of the gods. Maybe we are eternal in that way, mm. you know, that... Everything that every bit of cell or molecule that makes up my body right here, one day will become part of something else that's living. Mm-hmm. And just like that, I am connected to all the living things before me that have donated their molecules and atoms to form this form of yeah. me right now. Mm-hmm. And I mean, this sounds all pretty woo-woo, I understand, but like... It's important for me to root myself in something larger than myself. Like mm-hmm. if this is it, if just my life and my lifespan is all okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that literally biology tells us that that's not the whole story.
Oh, for sure.
And certainly, and cosmology tells us that there's that that's not the whole story either.
I mean, very simply, like conservation of matter tells us that we are recycled.
Right.
And made from recycled parts.
Exactly. And so when you step out, next time you step outside after it's been raining and you smell that smell, from now on, I'm always going to think of it as the perfume of all that's lived and died. Mm-hmm. It is literally the soil breaking down stuff that was once living and turning it into matter that can be used to build something new that's going to live. And I'm part of that. You're part of that. And so every little bit of those moments where we've listened for what's true and moved forward into it matter. We are all part of this bigger picture. And that's what I wanted to leave listeners with at the end of this record. And I hope that Petrichor can be that for people.
I love that.
Thanks. So there'll be a quiz on Friday.
Is that like your teacher voice?
No, I'm teasing. I was trying to make a teacher voice, which
but like an 80-year-old teacher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you about the production on the song, but you really just kind of mixed what I brought you.
Yeah, it's true. That said, it was one of the hardest songs for me to do.
I'm sure. And before I ask you that, can I just tell you, my first intention for this song was just to have it be vocals.
Mm.
And that's what I attempted first.
Yeah.
So before I did anything else, I recorded a 3-part harmony vocals for this song. And when I had that finished, it didn't feel grounded enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went back and I found this synth pad that I really liked and literally played...
A pad, by the way, people, is a sustained sound.
Right. And I played one note that sustains the entirety of this whole song. There's no chord movement.
Well, you know, that's not true. There's one note that you hold that goes for the first 2/3 of the song.
Right.
And there's a second note.
An octave.
At the beginning of verse 2, you might hear right when she says, I am the soil, there's this low note
that's
that comes
true.
In. And that note comes in like about 1/3 of the way through the song and lasts through the end. And they overlap for the middle third. So it's this really cool high, middle, low movement with the music over the course of the song, but very slowly.
Okay, fair. Fair point. They are octaves, though. So it is just a single note.
Yep.
But moving down an octave.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally. But it has that movement, which is nifty.
It is. So how about production, Jamie?
So, yeah, it was hard on this one.
The simple songs are often deceptively the hardest.
Yeah, right. Well, this song just like very, very clearly had to do a very special thing. Like it almost had to kind of float, you know?
Yeah.
Like I really felt for this one, like it really had to be like untethered from like space and time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, this idea that nothing is rooted in that way. Like we're not anchored in the moment, in the present moment of where we are. Like our life doesn't begin. Our bodies don't begin at the moment we're born and at the moment we die. Like it's just this continuum, you know, with no real rooting there whatsoever. And so I had to try to make it sound like that. I had two things I had to try to do. I had to, try to make it be very emotional, and then also to have that sort of untethered kind of feeling. And so what that really, practically speaking, meant is that the editing on this song was absolutely insane.
Yeah.
So there's 4 vocal tracks. It's largely 3-part harmony, but there's like an auxiliary track that kind of fills in cracks.
Yeah.
So there were 4 vocals.
Yeah.
And I literally touched each note of each of those 4 vocal tracks, all of which are in all of the time, specifically individually by hand, adjusting timing, pitch, sometimes vibrato, sometimes duration, length, like stretching things to sort of conform to each other.
Thank you for doing that too, because when I was recording, it was really hard. I was singing a cappella.
Yeah.
To my, like, and then layering my own vocal a cappella. And I was writing the parts in real time as I was recording them. So it was really difficult. It was a difficult recording exercise. And what I handed you was messy as can be.
Yeah.
So thank you for spending
nifty,
the time.
But it was definitely like, it was not where it needed to be in terms of like
just
the production value of
it,
you know? Because it really just had to just be perfect in a way.
Yeah.
You know? And it's funny because, like, if you go back to, like, you know, this millisecond, song 7 on this record, like, the production of that, like, I didn't tune the vocals at all.
Right.
You know? Like,
right.
We just did the work to capture it in real time. But this is just a very different approach to capturing a vocal, you know? The capturing, quote unquote, sort of happened after the fact. It's more like you just gave me data.
Yeah.
You know? But my single, you know, outside of, like, getting all of those balances happening. And the way that sort of happened is like I would just kind of work on it all at once, you know, and just as I was listening, I'd be like, the middle harmony on that syllable needs to be up a little bit, you know, and then keep listening and like, and just do it like that. And then once I had all the kind of balances right, then it was the flow of things. And I was actually doing some automation with like, on all of them together with like this automating fader thing that it's a USB device.
Yeah.
It's got one fader like you might find on a high-end mixing console in a big studio, you know. It's motorized, and you can write automation with it into the recording program.
Volume, is what you were writing in.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. So little volume swells in the vocal.
Yeah, just little, just to enhance the dynamics that you had given me. You know,
yeah.
But just like sometimes the intentionality of what you were doing was great, but like it just wasn't quite all the way there.
It needed to be dramatized a little bit.
Yeah, that's it. A little bit larger than life. You know.
Yeah.
And my biggest challenge by far on this song was finding the right space for the vocals to sit in. Mm. It was really, really hard. I, no joke, experimented with reverb on the vocals on this song for about 3 hours.
Yes, I remember.
And I mean, I tried and discarded something like 15 different reverbs, different and different spaces, each one of which I programmed myself to be the best version of itself that it could possibly be. And then I would mute it and I would make another one. And I'd mute it and I'd make another one, you know? Just and I was just doing this kind of brainstorming process in real time, just like trying different approaches. And interestingly, like the one that ended up sort of winning for this is actually it's a simulation of a pretty old machine from the late 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So not like the world's most sophisticated reverb machine. We own some of those, you know. We own some very sophisticated reverb machines. And I end up using one that's really much more rudimentary. It's got 6 controls. And that's it. I mean, I have reverbs that have like 50 controls. You know what I mean? And this one
this reverb could fly a plane.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And this one is just like this really kind of grainy sort of, it was a 12-bit like computer architecture, you know? So most stuff is minimally 16-bit these days. 12-bit stuff just sounds a little bit more lo-fi, you know? You don't really start to hear super lo-fi until you get to 8-bit. 8-bit, think about like arcade games. Like boop, 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 boop. Like, Dig Dug or like, you know, Frogger, like that stuff. That's 8-bit sound,
right.
You know? And it's really lo-fi. And 12-bit is like halfway, you know? But the lo-fi kind of graininess of it allowed me to put a relatively large amount of it, but also still have it recede to the back so it didn't get in the way.
Uh-huh.
The problem I was having with the high fidelity reverb sounds is they were calling too much attention to themselves. They were too detailed, too nuanced.
Yeah.
This one, by very virtue of its kind of comparative shittiness, kind of receded naturally, you know? And so it doesn't get in the way of the movement. If you listen back now that I've been talking about this, you'll notice that like you hear the tails really clearly. Like in the pauses between phrases, like, you know, your 4-part harmony says a thing, and then there's a beautiful cloud that hangs after it. It's a very long reverb, but the length of it and the space it creates does not get in the way of the next thing that you subsequently sing over the decaying tail of that previous reverb thing.
Right.
You know, it kind of gets itself out of the way sonically in that way.
Right.
Which is interesting because it wasn't my instinct at all. My instinct was, let's use all the fancy ones. It's such a spotlight moment. There's so few things happening. There's one synthesizer sound, 4 vocals, and a reverb. And the reverb's like literally a sixth of what's happening.
Yeah.
I was like, it's got to be very important. And actually, like, it had to be kind of the crappy one.
Right.
And it worked amazing.
Well, it kind of had to recede. Like, you know, like if we take this reverb description that you've just given us and like talk about it as a metaphor in terms of how it relates to the meaning of the song.
Yeah.
Like, The vocal that's, you know, that's most present is the thing that's happening now.
Yep.
But it's also happening with this cloud of decay of vocals that happened 15 seconds ago.
That's it.
You know? So it's really, it's a metaphor for this idea that, you know, we're living right now in the reverb tail of history.
Yeah, I like that. And that was in my consciousness at the time I was working on it. Like, I knew that it had to have a lot of length about it.
Yeah.
And a lot of gravity for exactly that reason. Because there had, in my mind, to be a continuity and a handoff from what came before to what's happening now to what comes next.
Yeah.
And they all had to inform one another and co-mingle together.
Yeah.
But also not make a big audio mess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a challenge.
Totally. Yeah. Well, you nailed it.
Well, thank you.
It sounds beautiful.
I think so.
It came out exactly how, in my mind, I yearned for it to sound.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, good.
Thank you.
Oh, well, thanks for writing a great song.
Was there anything else that you wanted to say about the production? I mean, there's not much else to talk about.
No,
seriously. It's such a simple thing. Well, can I just end this segment then with this tweet that I saw a couple of days ago from the astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson?
Is it about QAnon?
No, it's not.
Well, you still may.
And I've seen him, you know, say things like this before on Twitter, but this just came across my feed a couple days ago and I just loved it. But he said this, "Ever look up at night and feel small? Don't. Instead, feel large. Atoms in our bodies trace to the remnants of exploded stars. We are stardust. We are alive in the universe, and the universe is alive within us."
Aww.
That's the stuff right there.
Good job,
that's
Neil.
That's the stuff. So thank you all for listening.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks for sharing that, sweetie.
Mm-hmm.
Good song to end a good record. A masterpiece record, I think. I really do. I think it's a really good record. I think you made a good record.
Well, you did too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, high five. Yeah
right?
Sorry, I wasn't looking for the high five.
No, right? I'm sometimes just gotta do five.
Yeah.
All right, people. So here's the deal. Shannon and I are allegedly going to have some time to ourselves.
Yay!
Maybe even some vacation. It will not all be a vacation this next 4 weeks, 3.5 weeks. But some of it will, we hope. And one thing that we're attempting to do is not to schedule work commitments.
Like recording a podcast.
Yes. So what that means is that for at least the next couple of weeks, namely September 2nd and September 9th, both Wednesdays, because of course, as you know, the podcast comes out Wednesdays, we're not going to have new episodes.
Right.
We'll have a little something for you.
We'll have a little something.
We're going to pre-record just a couple little things. We'll have something for you.
So that you don't miss us too much.
And we think maybe it'll even be fun.
Yeah.
But there won't be fresh, brand new episodes on Wednesday the 2nd, Wednesday the 9th. And we reserve the right to do the same thing for Wednesday the 16th. We'll see. It would be hard to stay away from y'all for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So we may not do that.
It's true.
But if we do, we want you to know in advance that it's at least possible that's on the table. Please don't be mad. But that's that. So if you need us, you know where to find us. We're on Facebook. You can find us via our respective websites, shannoncurtis.net and departmentofenergymanagement.com for me. And our emails are there. If you have a burning desire, something you need to talk about, just reach out.
Yeah.
But barring any, podcast-related emergencies, we'll be back probably on the 16th, perhaps on the 23rd.
We're going on break.
Yeah. It's a fresher. I'm going on break. Did y'all ever listen to Mitch Hedberg?
Now you have to explain.
Oh, man. He was this comedian. He was wonderful. He had this very laconic, sardonic delivery. And he was imagining himself working at the Kitchen Appliance Naming Institute. He's like, naming appliances, you just say what the thing does, and you put "-er on the end of it. Does it refrigerate? It's a refrigerator. Does it wash dishes? It's a dishwasher. So I'm imagining myself working there, and they say, Mitch, what should we call this thing? Well, what does it do? Well, it makes things fresh. It's a fresher. I'm going on break.
And what exactly is a fresher?
I don't know.
It's not a thing. Anyway, thanks for that trip down Mitch Hedberg Lane.
Yeah.
And thank you all for listening to us today and inviting us into your day a little bit. We really appreciate it.
We do.
We'll be back in a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully everything hasn't all gone to shit. We'll just see.
Take good care of yourselves until then, and we'll see you soon.
We love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.